Good morning. Today is Thursday, September the 1st. Joining us this first day of September. Notice how I flipped it back and forth.
Yeah, you did. People know.
Semi-intelligent.
Yeah.
Billy Hansel, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Oh, I am regaling in the fact that we've got drippy fog out there, and L.A. is going to be about 100.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's a flex alert.
Bummer.
I'm looking around going,
not
really?
Not only is there a flex alert, there's also don't charge your electric car alert.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do in 2035 when everyone has electric cars and we have to flex.
Yeah.
I guess everyone's going to
pass
about.
I guess some of those old-timers will be okay then.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll know who's thought ahead and who hasn't, huh?
Well, and then how are all the patrol cars going to be, you know, charged in the middle of the night?
When no, I know what you're going to do is you're going to buy them from Nevada or Oregon.
Yeah.
Easy, right. Done. Well, next.
It's going to be like Cuba around here because everyone's going to have a gas car that they're going to, you know, retain that has very few electronics and... You know,
we're going to all have to paint our houses different colors.
Suddenly mechanics are going to be like, you know,
back
really
in
a desire.
Vogue? Yeah.
For sure.
Are you ready for our why do we say that?
Yes.
Why do we say Skid Row?
Why do we say Skid Row? Because it was an awesome band of the 80s? What?
I was out of high school then. I
oh,
don't
you
know.
Were. Okay. I wasn't. What's going on?
That's your shot?
That is.
All right.
Skid Row.
It's a paradox of modern American life that there's a Skid Row in every city of a nation, famous for its mind-boggling innovations. An unsavory district of an urban area owes its name to the invention of a fast way to get timber to market.
Oh, makes sense.
Skid Roads?
Yep.
Okay.
Totally.
Forestry began in earnest soon after the Civil War. As part of every big logging operation, a track of logs or heavy boards was built from the side of cutting to the nearest road, often greased with lard. Just imagine the flies on that one,
sure.
Or mosquitoes,
yeah.
Today's vernacular. This made it easy to skid or to drag logs. In a village near a lumber camp, a street lined with shacks was compared to the chute for dragging and was given its name. By the time large-scale logging began to decline, skid roads of hamlets caused any rundown and disreputable street or section of any city to be known as Skid Row.
That is interesting.
So
makes
almost
total
a local
sense.
Connection.
Yeah,
it makes except for that sense. Lard thing.
We don't use lard here. We have this thing called fog. You know, it's,
well, and steam donkeys.
Steam donkeys, yeah, for sure. Gravity and
water. Do we sound
water.
Old?
I don't think so.
Okay, we got a pinch hitter for the pinch hitter over on the other side.
Have you
ever seen the steam up at Humboldt, at Fort Humboldt?
No.
Have you ever heard of a Dolby or steam donkey?
That rings no bells.
Get away.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So we just got to make sure that we get that out there,
keep,
you know?
Keep history alive.
For sure.
That's all part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Are we having an awful lot of abandoned vehicles? Not yes, but more than normal? As it seems like between that and some of the aggressive fence cutting going on throughout the county, that there are boundaries that are being crossed all the time, but much more in front of us.
I think we're noticing some of that stuff, but I think it's been there. I think we do have a lot of abandoned vehicles out there. You've seen over the last 6-7 years, the county has actually spent more money on abandoned vehicle abatement.
We were talking about kicking it to $5 instead of $1 if you can get two others to go with them just to get this stuff. There's so much of it.
There's so much of it. I believe we just raised our taxes because of it, you know. So, or at least the vehicle registration, I think it was a $2 assessment.
One to two.
So, you know, it is more money for us. And how it works in the county is regularly CHP or a deputy tags a vehicle as abandoned on the side of the road. Now,
that does not involve spray paint?
No. So all a vehicle needs to be is determined abandoned is essentially left on a roadway, off a roadway. It can't be in a roadway because that would be a danger. We'd automatically tow it. But if it's off the roadway but connected to a state highway, a county road, public property kind of a thing, they have to move it within 72 hours. If they don't move it within 72 hours, then we can tag it as abandoned.
Unless it's really obvious that it's like somebody's.
So if it's the
homeowner's rig.
Yeah. Yes. Well, if it's a home, if someone's living in it, it creates a whole new deal, you know.
Well, just say the family station wagon, I mean, as long as we're going old.
Right.
And
yes,
it hasn't been moved in a couple of days or
right,
driven in the last couple of days.
Still, technically, yeah, we can tag it
really?
As abandoned. Yep. And then they would have to move it. So if they don't move it within 10 days, then it becomes essentially abated. You know, then we have to notify the registered owner via certified mail, let them know that your vehicle is going to be towed within the next 2 weeks. If it doesn't move, and now we would go out and tow it and arrange for a tow to happen. So, yeah, you're doing the math. It's 3 to 4 weeks until we actually get a process to arrange a tow. And sometimes we have these abandoned vehicles all the way out in Densmore, in Shelter Cove, in Oreck. And then we have to hire a tow company to go out there and get it. And a tow company, these
aren't mileage, huh?
These are not money makers for them. And oftentimes they don't want to take it because it sits in their yard. They have to go through a process of leaning it, and then
so they can't just scrap it out.
They can't just scrap it out. So
okay,
they have to go through a process. But there are places like Eel River Salvage and Disposal. They'll take the car. They'll go through the process. They'll try to make a little bit of money on it. And they're the ones we would like to contract with because they're reasonable to try and take these cars.
Yeah, Linda doesn't have her own
crusher.
Fleet of tow trucks.
Right. Yes. Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's. How
do the more rural counties deal with this?
I think it's the same thing.
Everybody's just in the same boat.
Yeah, same boat. And so the biggest deal is when people abandon RVs out in the middle of nowhere and they trash, they throw every little bit of trash in there. And we've seen this in Southern Humboldt and Eastern Humboldt, you know, connected to dope grows. They're trimmer housing and that kind of stuff. Then they decide they don't want it anymore. They tow it out to the highway, put it in a turnout, and then we have to pay for it to get towed. And it's like a $2,000-$3,000 tow bill.
And the dollar per registration or $2 doesn't
fly. Doesn't cut it there.
Yeah, it. I guess it's just a sign of the times. Some of these things that are becoming more and more laxed, or it's not my response. Dropping old tires
right
is right up there with, or refrigerators, and I guess sofas anymore, too. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. Happy birthday to all newly formed seniors in the community.
That's right. Hey, Bill McCauley. Happy birthday. Birthday shout out.
Yeah.
Our favorite tax guy.
That's right. I can revel in it for 9 days.
Yeah.
Oh. So, as you guys train to the existing laws and the rules. Had an interesting discussion yesterday about what is enforceable and what isn't. Not what's on the books.
Right.
Not what's right or wrong, but what's worth doing.
True.
And a lot of times things aren't in alignment. How do you train to what is, you know, community standards? I mean, we had the marijuana stuff.
Yeah.
As a reference historically. How do you do it?
It's true. That's that's a big question that we have here as far as law enforcement goes, because law enforcement officers do have discretion regarding certain offenses, infractions pretty much all the time. So when someone's speeding and or jaywalking, those kind of minor offenses that are essentially just fine only, a deputy has a lot of discretion, whether you warn someone, give them a citation, you drive by, you know. I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. And literally, in our area, we see infractions all the time. Right. People drinking in public, doing these kind
of
things.
Well, a lot of it doesn't even register with us.
Right. And yeah. And so you couldn't go to all your other calls if you had to deal with those all day long. So you have to kind of avoid some of those to get to the misdemeanors and the felonies. So if someone commits a felony, we're tied. We have to write a report. We have to do something about it. There's things that we have to do when it comes to a felony. A misdemeanor, there's a lot of discretion there with misdemeanor. If there's someone that assaults you, you have to press charges against it if you choose not to.
Which really seems kind of interesting. I know we've shared in the past about sentence them.
Yes.
Arrest them. Prosecute them. Give us the chance to do something for folks or with folks or to folks, depending on certain situations. You don't do it, there's no consequence, and they're back out. Dave Douglas, when he was chief, had said that there was probably at one point 65% of the frequent flyers represented their caseload or calls for service. Is it the same throughout the county also, that if you could take off 25 people, that things would be so much less frantic?
Yes. There are some of those people that are chronically drunk, that are causing disturbances every day, that we get calls to. Sometimes people get booked, 10, 15 times in a month. Those are the kind of people that drain the system. And so our deputies and officers for the cities have to deal with those. And we're coming up with a plan right now, to set aside jail space for those people. The people that are consistently stealing, consistently drunk, consistently on drugs, those kind of things that are causing public nuisance type issues.
But really messing people's lives up.
Absolutely. Thieves. I mean, with serial thieves. I mean, they're just everywhere.
When you say nuisance, it kind of sounds like a little fly flitting around.
No, but these are the things that normally in our current criminal justice society would get a slap on the wrist, a probation, that out the door. They don't have any consequences. You know, what we need to do is find those, those top 10 percenters that are violating all this crime, and then give them sentences. Give them 6 months to a year in county jail. And we set bed space aside for that. But we need the judges on board. We need, we have the jail on board. We have the officers and deputies on board to do that and follow through with that. We also need the community to be on board, because when it comes time for it, when we go up to someone who just got vandalized or just had something stolen from them and we catch them because they call us, we say, okay, we need you to prosecute. We need you to be a witness. They say, I really don't want to be bothered. They're just getting a slap on the wrist anyway. I just don't really want to do anything. So can you just take them to jail or just get them out of here? And we can't do that. We have to have people that are willing to be witnesses, that show up to court, that say, I want to be a victim. I want this guy prosecuted.
Does the community in general understand that? Yes, you got taken advantage of. You were diminished somehow. But you need to step up and absorb another inconvenience.
Right. And I don't know if they fully understand that, because we see that. You said it right. Inconvenience. We see this and they go, is it really going to make a difference? I'm going to go through all this effort. Is it going to make a difference? And we just have to continue to think it does make a difference. One thing, one person at a time.
I would think if you had a cell set aside.
Yeah.
And people knew that there were cells set aside and there was space and this guy would have consequence.
Yes.
I think that there's a groundswell of people frustrated that there's just lack of consequence.
Absolutely. There are. I mean, you go through Eureka right now, you go through Arcata, and you see some of these people just acting so bizarre.
And what town are you not including in this?
Well, sir, I don't see it in Fortuna.
Now that I'm surrounded by y'all.
No, but you see these people that are just in people's faces and they're chronically drunk, and people don't feel safe sometimes walking around some of these areas. And it's just, it's ridiculous. We want to have family friendly and those kind of venues here. And then when someone does pop up and they cause disturbances, for us to act quickly and for us to deal with that.
But if there was surety,
yes,
that yes, this person will be taken off the street, they will be out of your hair and your neighbor's hair for at least 6 months.
Right.
I think that there would be far more willingness to step up.
And we need the judges, because that's the only missing element. The judges have to sentence these people.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:30.
Yeah.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time, it's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. You mentioned judges before the break, that there's a four-prong approach. Four prongs? Normally it's three prongs, huh?
Community.
All right, four corners.
Okay,
a four-corner approach to our foundation here.
Okay.
For getting some consequences in play.
Yes.
So the community?
Yep.
Okay, we got to step up and say, yeah, great, I'll sign something. I'll sit in the box and say, yeah, he was breaking into my house.
Right.
Okay, uncomfortable, inconvenient, I'll do it. You said the officers?
Yeah.
I would think you guys are probably doing cartwheels.
Yes.
So let's not worry too much about that.
That's
part
right.
of the program.
We want to arrest people.
Right. Jail capacity, which has been an issue. At least we've heard about it over the years.
For sure.
You know, at capacity.
Yep.
You're not at capacity now?
We're not at capacity right now.
All right. Enough to be able to formally dedicate a percentage of the beds?
We can do. We're already talking with law enforcement around the county saying we can make beds available.
Okay.
Yes.
So you got that. The only variable left is the judges. Are they on board with this?
So they want to be on board with it. You know, they've talked about this, but they have to just start sentencing people. I mean, that's really what needs to happen. And
everything else is in place?
Everything else is in place. So we have to, you know, the district attorney is on board with this. You know, I think we've talked about it. We haven't formalized anything yet, you know, with the judges. So I think that's probably the next step is to make sure that we just need to have that conversation and then come to agreement. So it's just meeting with the presiding judge saying, this is what we would love to do. And they, you know, they get a little perturbed as well because sometimes people irritate them in court and they give them a no bail warrant, you know, for a misdemeanor. Let's say someone's driving on a suspended license 10 times.
They
finally
break,
get upset.
Yeah.
And so they get a no bail warrant where they want to see him next, and we get a misdemeanor into our jail, and we go, we're only accepting serious and violent, so we're going to give him a citation to appear in court again. And so the judges get a little irritated about that if we release the people.
Because of the process or just there
are certain people that they want to see in court, so they want to hold people in jail until they make a court appearance. And you know, there's times when we can do that with jail capacity or whatnot, and there's other times we have to say, hey, listen, we have to give this guy a citation. We just don't have the room or capacity for this misdemeanor to come in when we have other serious offenses that are going to be, you know, needing to be housed.
So this would guarantee that there would be space for those folks also?
Not necessarily. So that's not for everyone that has a warrant. These are for specific people that are causing repeated offenses out in our community.
Your frequent flyer.
Our frequent flyers.
So if you had, say, 50 beds set aside, wouldn't they qualify for one of the 50?
Well, 50 is a big number. So we're not, you know, at first, you know, maybe 20,
What's
25.
That, 20%?
20, yeah. Yeah, so our capacity is 3 or... It's 417 is usually our capacity, but we have a construction project right now where we're remodeling some of our dorm spaces to meet ADA requirements. So our capacity is around 350 right now, and so
but that's temporary.
It is temporary. We hope in the next year that we're going to be done with that.
Well, it's going to take that long to.
It has, yes. It's absolutely just ridiculous how long it's taken. So we've been started through the pandemic, and it's gone all the way this long. We have another year to go.
4 years.
It's
what do they have to do in each cell?
Well, we have to widen our showers by an inch and a half. That's because it didn't meet the ADA requirement. I can't even talk. Yeah, so it's that kind of things that are going on, and it's just it scratches my mind. It scratches my head because
so
they
it's
were
the
built
entire
to ADA.
Structure. Then.
Yes, the entire dorms. We built this place to meet ADA requirements back, you know, 25 years ago, but The new requirements are different, and we had to meet the current standards.
Oh, we got fatter people or fatter wheels?
I don't know, but we had to widen our showers by an inch and a half.
Should you go smart and go 2.5 inches so you don't
have
to do
it again? We should
have.
So anyway, so we had to do that. So it is what it is. We can't fight it, so we have to just work with it.
So if it's a little bit constrained, you still could set aside.
We still can set aside some beds, absolutely. We start small. We start out with 10 beds, move up to, eventually 50 beds or dedicate an entire dorm to this kind of thing.
So what kind of impact does that make? Do we see it on the street then?
I think you see it on the street. I think you see when you take that element, just like, Chief Douglas said, we do have a certain amount of population of criminals that just keep reoffending. You take those people off the street, it does make an immediate impact.
The serial thieves. Are those the guys that we see that are here all the time, or do they tend to be the ones that blow through town, they'll spend 6 months and then go hurt somebody else's community?
It depends. It could be a little bit of both, but we have locals. We have locals that are either, down and out, that are drug addicted mostly drug addicted, that are looking for their next fix, and they're ripping people off, causing havoc on the street and that kind of thing. Those are the kind of people that we want to see in custody.
What would make more of a positive impact? 50 in your house or blow up and expand Sempervirens to 60 and allow the dual diagnosis?
Gosh, man, that would... I think Sempervirens would be my first choice. Absolutely. Because we see this every day there. There's no capacity. We're taking people to the hospitals. The hospitals are inundated. It's just... And then sometimes they do an offense and they're in custody. And we, get a mental health treatment while in custody. It's not the best therapeutic environment. Sometimes they're incompetent to stand trial. We have to go through our jail-based competency treatment center. It's just
sounds like this trail is well worn.
Headache, yeah. Huge headache for this thing. So, mental health is one of those things that just we can't invest. We have to invest a lot more money. We have to invest a lot more of this, and the state really has to take more control over this. And to take some responsibility for it.
Funding or operational?
We need all of those things, right? It's the funding a lot of times is there, but we can't fill the positions, the clinicians, we can't fill the psychiatrists, we don't have the space, So I think a lot of times, the funding, there's funding. Can we find the building? Can we find the staff? We're having a tough time.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Is there a place for the private sector to get involved with this stuff other than being victims? Well, we're talking about mental health. We talk about the criminal justice. We don't vote for judges, so that one's kind of out, unless there's an open spot we had last time. Okay, fine. So the fear of accountability really isn't there. It's either innate or it doesn't exist. Okay, DA, had a race, but I guess that's not a really high turnover position historically. Your slot isn't, okay? Mm-hmm. You're the folks that are dealing with all this stuff all the time, though. So what do we do other than... We become kind of the stick in the mud or the prod, and then you get frustrated, and then mental health gets frustrated, and the hospitals get frustrated, and everybody's just kind of torqued up instead of getting something that results in positive outcome for the people, for the community, and for the individuals.
Yeah, oftentimes people don't want to get involved till it affects them. One way or another, they have someone in a mental health crisis, and they see firsthand the person going through the process, and they go, this is broken. We got to fix it. Or they go to the ER and because they just split
and
open their thumb.
They look around, same thing.
Yeah, and they go, I need to get my thumb stitched up here. And they go, well, it's going to be 3 hours because we have 10 mental health cases that we have to deal with.
I could bleed out by then.
It's these things that sometimes people get affected. We need to pay attention as a community. We see what's going on. We need to pay attention to what the county is doing. And you need to talk to your city councils, your board of supervisors about prioritizing what you believe is necessary. If you believe mental health treatment is more necessary, then you need to call. And then they're going to also say, call your senator.
Isn't it already?
Well,
everybody gives lip service to it.
Exactly. They certainly do. But it comes down to it. We need to have some real solutions. You know, government, man, we really don't do anything well, right? And so this is where the private sector really needs to, I think, become a partner with government.
But then there's always a concern, there's the profit motive. We're not doing it for this, you're doing it for this reason. And then you get locked up on that.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to be a business, and so they're going to want to make a profit over certain things. That's going to be a business model, but it's going to be likely cheaper than having government run it. And then there's some accountability there. If they want to continue this contract, then they're going to have to make sure they meet some expectations and some performance objectives. So
in part and parcel to all of this stuff, how's the expansion coming?
I just got a migraine.
Not the ADA.
No. It is still the state fire marshal's office, and we've rattled some cages in the state level, and they say we're close. And so I don't know. It's just very, very frustrating.
How many jails have expanded? I mean, we know that there are no state prisons being built. What about at the county level? Is anybody expanding?
We just had Trinity County. They expanded their jail, and they actually built a new facility, a really nice facility. They went from like 20 beds to 60 beds, and so it's a really nice facility there in Weaverville. So they got it done.
For a county of under 20,000.
Right.
That'd be like you having one of about 12 or 1,300 beds on a ratio.
Right. It is something that was needed. You know, Trinity County had a jail that was falling apart, and so it was something that I'm glad they got it done.
They weren't using the old Shasta City.
No, they weren't.
Not that jail. Okay.
No, exactly. Exactly. Let's throw some bars up in this brick.
All right. If you drive by there, if you're a history geek, that was a heck of a joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Jonah didn't even respond.
Shasta City?
Yeah.
Spatula City.
Yeah.
Any UHF fans out there?
Yeah.
No, those are Limbaugh fans, bud. Spatula City.
It's from the Weird Al movie, UHF.
Okay.
UHF. Starring Weird Al.
Yeah. Weird Al. Right on.
So if somebody does have an idea or they do want to get involved, it's not... Maybe not formal.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to join the team, so to speak, but they want to be involved. Other than just calling and, you know, maybe you get lip service from elected, maybe you get blown off by the elected. What do we do?
So there are things that within our community that they can get involved in. I mean, we do have some great organizations. You know, the Rescue Mission, Betty Chin, Teen Challenge, you know, those are the areas that, you know, they are doing outreach in the community. They are finding people that are in crisis, that have these challenges, whether they're mental health, drug addiction, alcoholism, and they're pulling them off the street and they're offering them assistance. All those organizations are looking for volunteers. And so any one of you that are interested in helping, you know, with the problem can always volunteer with those organizations. You can always donate money to those organizations because they are making an impact.
I guess that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
They are making an impact.
They are, you know, and it is. They look at one individual at a time, and they go, you know, they're going to invest in this individual, and it's going to come down to their choice. Every single one that is in crisis has a choice at that point in time, okay? Are they going to seek help, or are they going to go back to what, you know, got them in crisis? And so we give them that opportunity, whether it's jail, whether it's a program, you know, whether it's mental health treatment.
And do the judges sentence these folks, or is this an individual's determination that this is what they want to do and they go out to these various services?
It depends. A lot of times, you know, in the past, a judge said you're either going to state prison or a program. You choose. And if you fail this program, I'm going to send you to state prison. So that was the motivation for a lot of people. They go, I'm going to go through this program. And like with Teen Challenge, it's a year-long program. So they're staying in that program for a year. If they do not, then they're going to prison. That's that motivation factor. And so I think there needs to be some consequences. There needs to be something held over people so they do want to make that decision. Because oftentimes it takes 60, 90 days in a program before they finally are sober enough, they get it, they see progress, and it's still tough. It's difficult.
And when you're an addict, positive reinforcement.
Exactly. When you're an addict, your entire life. And so you never can go back. And so you got to give people that opportunity, and that's, you know, and give them that success. A 30-day program, I think, never works. You have to have a program that has a sustained long-term program that is going to, you know, steer people in the right
direction.
Some
of the celebrity things, no.
No.
Yeah. Doesn't even work on a fat farm, I don't think.
No. I don't think so either.
All right, bud. Thanks for coming by.
All right, Brian. Thank you.
Have a quiet Labor Day, huh?
Yeah, for sure.